Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
We get the intro music again? Is that just like randomly in the music selector? That's incredible.
Yeah, it's on a
rotation. Welcome back to Cody and Gold. This is hour two, believe it or not, of Cody and Gold. We just get the song twice today. Just me today, James Howell on the other side of the glass. But our guy Nate Taylor, who normally joins us on a Tuesday, will join us on a Monday because the Chiefs play on Christmas Day. Of course, Nate Taylor is presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. Call 816-221-1750. Nate, happy early Christmas, I suppose. This has got to be like you're a parent who covers the NFL and the Chiefs playing Christmas. So this week sucks for you, I assume?
it's not great. I want to say a Merry Christmas to you and everybody else in my beloved hometown. I also want to say a Merry Christmas to Roger Goodell and Netflix because, at least I'm getting overtime pay, holiday pay, I guess, Holly, my wife, and Hayden, my son, they've never seen Pittsburgh, so they're going to see Pittsburgh in late December. It's going to be excellent.
You guys are all doing Christmas in Pittsburgh?
Yes, sir. Yes. This was, once the schedule came out, we were pretty much in a pickle because, unlike last year, I obviously we did the usual Christmas and then, I headed to Arrowhead, which the Chiefs obviously, walked through that game to another loss. This time, because it's on the road and it's in the middle of the week and there's no school, obviously, we had the ability to decide whether or not you want to go to Pittsburgh in late December. My biggest concern was that it was going to be like frigid cold, maybe some ice, maybe some snow. That does not appear to be in the forecast. A lovely Christmas gift is, hey, kid, do you want to see Russell Wilson play football in person?
That's the same as getting a lump of coal in your stocking if it was a couple of years ago. At least now it's like getting socks, It's not a lump of coal, but it's like getting socks when you're that age. You're like, I mean, fine, but he's never going to appreciate that that's a good gift now.
Right. And the hope is that this is a Christmas hue you will never forget, just because it will be so unique and abnormal to anything he's experienced before. My son is 9, and yes, we will still, send, the tracker for Santa.
Nice.
We're going to have to, maneuver some things, from a parent standpoint. But yeah, I mean, as much as this is not thrilling for anybody involved, honestly, you just try to make the best of it. You understand that the Chiefs now need this game. That was some concern when the schedule came out too. It was like, okay, either they're going to really, really need this game or it's going to be an utter like waste of time just because either the Steelers won't need it or the Chiefs won't need it or, Lord forbid, both teams won't need it. But both teams do. So the NFL kind of lucks out in that factor, but I just hate that as much as my son loves, hotels and the whole swimming pool and who knows, please upgrade me, Marriott. Come on, man. Like, who's staying in Christmas in Pittsburgh? But honestly, I just cannot believe that this game is a noon kickoff as well. I think that bothers me just as much as the actual playing on a Wednesday.
Worst time on Christmas, yeah.
Yeah, Cody, because it's like, all right, I mean, he'll wake up at, 7 a.m., but you're telling me that the Steelers finished their game technically around 5:36 p.m. Eastern time, and they're going to play at 1 o'clock on Wednesday? This might be the shortest recovery time this late in the season for a game that actually matters for both teams. It's just idiotic. from the NFL standpoint.
I think this is where Chris Jones had a point. Like, if you're going to just stick it to these teams, which happens, right? Corporate partners, you're an NFL player, right? You want to make $40 million a year. The right. NFL will tell you, hey, you want to make $40 million a year? We have a 50-50 split. So if you want some of this cash is for all of us. Well, then give them a late buy. If you know you're sticking them on Netflix on Christmas Day, why was there bye week five? Like, I mean, this is the easiest solution, in my opinion.
Of course. And, you know, I would say that the schedule has not really been to the Chiefs' benefit all year, right? I mean, we're going to watch Buffalo have a late bye, and they're just going to play Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, you know, in the position to chase the Chiefs down. Obviously, the Steelers, the Texans, the Ravens all had later byes. I mean, the Ravens just had their bye a couple weeks ago. In terms of being the first game, congratulations, you're a Super Bowl champion. You get the first game to play on every day of the week except for Tuesday, because, you know, you can't do that unless, you know, we're in, like, the COVID realm. But, hey, Black Friday, you know, you're going to be on prime time as much as physically possible. You know, the reason they got away with this, ladies and gentlemen, is because the game is not on prime time. Had this game been in prime time, they would have had to take one earlier away from the schedule. So, you know, but again, that hurts you, because if you had had a prime time game, you would have obviously, you know, a handful more of hours to, like, you know, not be playing football in a 3-game, 11-day stretch. And for as much as people say, you know, the Lions and the Cowboys do this, they do this in November. It's now late December, and all this injuries sort of accumulate over time. So it's a terrible nightmare. And the fact that, like, Patrick Mahomes is playing hurt, you know, Chris Jones is dealing with a calf injury because, you know, he just takes on more and more responsibility. It's all the burden of, hey, you're the NFL's darling, which means they want to put you anywhere, any time slot, any place. But that's not actually good for the product, and that's not actually good for, you know, one of the teams that's obviously competing for the Super Bowl.
Well, yeah, the number one seed, and it's not like the Steelers. They're playing for their own division. They don't want to play on a short week. The Ravens are playing for the division. They don't want to play on a short week. And it's weird because in order to make this schedule work, I just watched these four teams play. All you did was shuffle. Like, this is the worst game of musical chairs. You switched one thing. I just watched on standalone games, on their own day, all four of these teams, Nate. Like, this isn't even like a new product. I just watched it.
I know, right? And by the way, like, you're not going to see Tank Dale because, you know, that was
awful.
So awful on Saturday. Of course, we might not see Joey Porter Jr. because, you know, football.
Might not see Chris Jones.
You might not see Chris Jones. You might not see, I mean, even TJ Watt was just like a shell of himself against the Ravens on Saturday. So it's just, again, it's not a good product. You're just doing this just for a money grab, and everybody understands it. And again, is Netflix ready? You know, that's like the big thing looming over all of this is how hilarious would it be if, you know, as you're saying, Cody, we just saw all these teams. We're going to see an even perhaps juicier version of all these teams again. And oh, by the way, nobody can watch it, or a very small fraction of the audience can watch it. I mean, it would be a colossal, issue, but, you know, in some ways, the MVP of the Chiefs right now is Joe Tooney. The idea that this man is about to play likely 3 games in 11 days out of position at the most important position on the offensive line and trying to keep Patrick Mahomes upright with a sprained ankle injury. I mean, my God, what are we doing? Like, the more I talk through this with you, but I hope the audience understands this, like, as they obviously are running errands trying to get last minute Christmas shopping, like, this is absurd. Like, this is totally absurd, and they should never do this again, in my honest opinion. So, which means, hey, 18 games, 2 bye weeks, see you on Wednesday, you know, 2027 already on Christmas Day.
Bingo. That at least solves part of the problem, the double bye week, because then everyone gets one early, and everyone gets one late.
Yes.
When you look at what Joe Tooney has done, I thought he played better this game than he played in the previous game. Lesser opponents, but like Texans or no, they've got some big boy pass rushers. I mean, it's not like they're bad. I thought it was better, but I still think the best version is get DJ Humphries healthy by the Broncos game and let him do it.
Yes. The issue, though, is you know, we're going into a scenario where, you know, again, I don't know if DJ is going to practice. The plan last week was for him to, you know, be available for Wednesday's game, you know, if everything feels right. But again, he might only get like a couple reps today. And then obviously the team has to fly tomorrow for Wednesday's game. But the issue is we may go through a scenario where if it's Joe Tooney again on Wednesday, basically in a, you know, must win divisional round playoff game, we all assume, he will have only had 60 reps with Patrick Mahomes, you know, with the two of them playing together. It's so unfortunate that he had the hamstring injury, you know, very late in that comeback win against the Chargers, to where it's like, all right, we got to put Wanya Morris back out there. And then, of course, they realize, oh, wait, Myles Garrett and T.J. Watt are nearby on the schedule. Let's not do that again. So, yes, I think Joe Tooney has played excellent. Danielle Hunter tried a number of moves. None of them worked. It was awesome to know that, okay, it's like Joe Tooney understood everything Patrick did from Sunday to, you know, obviously last Saturday to get himself ready to play the game, and then took it upon himself to be like, he is not the reason we are losing today. I am not going to let anybody get near this man. I will die, you know, valiantly to protect my quarterback, who's obviously playing through a lot of pain himself. And his technique was pretty sound. He doesn't have the best arms, but he knows where to be. He can move his feet. He can be in the proper spots. You know, if T.J. Watt plays on Saturday, that'll be a completely different challenge. Now, you might argue, on Wednesday, T.J. may actually play more on the opposite side because, maybe, you know, we might see Wanya Morris instead of Juwan Taylor, given the fact that he couldn't finish Saturday's game. But for now, the offensive line looked actually functionable, looked actually professional against the Houston Texans.
When you look at what the wide receivers are doing, Nate, I think you can officially make an argument. Like, let's just look at the we pretty much know the AFC playoff field. I guess there's still a chance Denver blows it and lets either the Colts, Miami, or Cincinnati in. But it still takes a lot of things to go wrong or right. Like, Cincinnati has to win this weekend, and then Miami and the Colts have to lose one of their final two games. Miami does not have a terribly difficult schedule, so let's just pretend we know the teams. I think you can officially make an argument with the return of Hollywood Brown that out of all seven playoff teams, the Chiefs have the best wide receiver unit in the AFC.
Ooh, interesting. Without even Rashee Rice.
DeAndre Hopkins is a capable veteran. I don't think he can separate, but he's a capable veteran who can make a difficult third down catch. Xavier Worthy has grown exponentially in the last 6 to 7 weeks. And Hollywood Brown didn't even look like he missed a step coming in for Mahomes. Not to mention Kelsey and Gray. So, I mean, like, when you start just saying, like, receivers on the field, I'm having a hard time seeing a team that has more offensive weapons than the Chiefs in the AFC.
Right. And let's not forget that, you know, Samaje Perine all of a sudden became Jarrett McKinnon on Saturday, too. You know, so he looks to be right on time for this postseason run. It's a great point. I mean, I can't necessarily argue it because I think the two teams that would have the best tandem are obviously chasing for the seventh seed, Miami and, you know, Cincinnati.
Yeah.
You know,
it's better than the Chargers and the Broncos' weapons. It's better than the Ravens' weapons. Yeah, like if you start turning Ravens, running back, and we mentioned Derrick Henry, maybe it's different. But
right. Yeah, the Ravens have an interesting group because it's Isaiah Likely, similar to Travis Kelce, you have Mark Andrews, of course.
Zay Flowers has been great.
Zay Flowers has been great. You kind of have Rashad Bateman. I mean, I guess.
He's fine.
It's not as explosive, the potential that the Chiefs have. And then you look at Buffalo, it appears that the injury for Keon Coleman is going to take some time for him to get back.
Yeah.
In rhythm, and of course, you know, they would need the one seed for a number of issues too, because we're now learning that, you know, Josh Allen is playing with another broken hand, so it's not like he's 100% either. Yes, Amari Cooper's been okay, but he hasn't been spectacular, and you know, it really is Josh and like Khalil Shakir. I mean, okay, I mean, I guess.
Look, if you go to the NFC side, it's easy, right? I can mention Amon-Ra and Jameson Williams, or, I mean, Jesus, everybody on the Vikings, whatever. But like,
Vikings are so good. Yeah, oh, my God. I mean, watching them yesterday was really fun.
Yeah, I mean, Addison and Justin Jefferson. Look,
so good.
I mean,
TJ Hawkins is like the third or fourth option. It's wild.
But in the AFC side, I honestly think it's the Chiefs. I think what stands out, like, I pointed this out like 3 weeks ago, and I am not the only person who noticed it. I think the Chiefs did this on purpose. Like 3 weeks ago, they started, Xavier Worthy got better right at the Bills game. The identical time that Rashee Rice took off is when Xavier Worthy started playing better in season. But also what they did at that time was they started having him run all of Rashee Rice's routes, and he started doing all this underneath stuff, and I'm convinced it's because they knew Hollywood would do the other stuff when he came back.
Right. Or he's at least projected. And Gideon has the experience and the wherewithal to know, you know, how to quickly get back in rhythm with Patrick based on everything we saw in training camp, which, by the way, he was awesome in training camp, which is why the injury was so discombobulating for the rest of the offense. The beauty is now they're starting to become very interchangeable at multiple, you know, areas of the field, right? So you can have a Justin Watson or a Hollywood Brown, obviously, and Xavier Worthy go deep, right? All to varying degrees, but at least you know from the opponent, hey, Justin Watson can get over my head if I don't play it right. Now you have Travis Kelce and, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, who can play underneath, who could be in the intermediate area, who could all, you know, both guys can make contested catches, especially in one-on-one opportunities against zone in particular. And, yeah, now we have the speed threat and the breakability of, hey, if we miss this tackle, Xavier Worthy might not be catchable in the short stuff. Hey, we might just go to a bunch formation, and the Houston Texans are saying, we can't do man-to-man coverage because you're too quick off the line of scrimmage, so let's just play zone. Oh, my God, he scored a touchdown on us anyway. You know, he got to the pylon before we could even react to it based on the quick throw of Patrick Mahomes. So they are starting to find answers. Of course, you can add in the screen game. You know Xavier Worthy can be explosive even behind the line of scrimmage, right, on these reverses, on these sort of bubble screens. So they have a lot of options. If Hollywood can continue to get better over at least Wednesday's game, right, let's say the Chiefs win, everybody, you know, Lord willing, stays healthy. But, hey, you could give Hollywood 35, maybe 40 snaps, and all of a sudden someone's going to be open at a consistent level, which means Patrick is usually going to find the right answer to the test in terms of secondary, which means if the offensive line can withhold for 2.5 to 3 seconds based on the speed, and to your point, Cody, the possibilities that you have from a pass-catching standpoint, even out of the backfield, this might be a harder test than what the Bills saw earlier this year, what the Ravens saw earlier this year. And obviously, if you have to play either the Broncos or the Chargers, guess what? All that stuff, all those games you played against us, all that film you have, it's meaningless compared to actually what we've been doing, you know, since the Texans-Steelers game before they see.
Do the Chiefs view Xavier Worthy as their number one wideout? He's got 11 targets in each of the last two games. That's the most on the team.
I think they are, kind of to your point, Cody, trying to get this man as many viable reps to get him to be at his most explosive and reliable self for the postseason. Because they did do something very similar with Rashee Rice. It was a little different in terms of the routes he was running, but they tried to give him the ball as much as possible because he is the thing that can really separate them against anybody else from a coverage standpoint. You know what you have in Travis Kelce, right? Who's just like, hey, man, I catch the ball, I go down, I am saving my body literally for January. You know what DeAndre Hopkins is going to bring you on a third down or a contested cast situation.
Yeah.
And obviously, like we said before, Hollywood Brown, you know, if he gets more opportunities, he should obviously get back to, you know, what we expect from him, what we saw from him earlier in his career. So the only guy that you could really tap into the potential and see how much you can maximize it between now and what we think will be the divisional round is Xavier Worthy. So it is smart of the coaching staff to say, hey, he's played every game this season. He has not had a major injury yet. So we know he's our greatest threat, and let's just give him as many touches as possible, because putting that on film can open up so much for Travis Kelce, for Hollywood Brown, and DeAndre Hopkins.
Nate, appreciate the time. We know we're going to hear from Andy Reid. Otherwise, I'd ask you, who's going to play? Taylor, Humphreys. I mean, look, Jones. The list is getting long.
Yeah.
Right. But at least we know they're short-term injuries. We'll hear it from Andy in about 20 minutes. We appreciate the time, Nate. Thanks.
All right. Anytime, fellas.
Nate Taylor over at The Athletic, you can hear him, presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. We come back. We're going to talk more about Xavier Worthy alone. Maybe get a trash the day in. We'll see, because we got Andy Reid coming up at 1145. We're going to get to an early break. We'll talk Xavier Worthy coming up next. Back here on Cody and Gold. Cody Tab with you. On this December 23rd, James Howell on the other side of the glass. We'll hear from Andy Reid and I think Patrick Mahomes. They just said and players. If you did this based on the normal time players would be available, Mahomes would talk? We'll hear from at least Andy Reid coming up in about 15 minutes or so. Plus up my guy Steven Serta, former producer of this show, will be joining us in studio for his Venture Club Foolish. He does all kinds of Chiefs podcasting coverage. Used to be the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network. He pretty much took over all the shows from that and took them over to his side of things. So if you've been looking for that content, you can find it with him at Foolish Club Media. So we'll get him in studio from noon until 2 as well. Our thanks to Nate again for joining us in studio for just a minute. James, real quick, before we get to some Xavier Worthy topic, y'all done with your Christmas shopping? Because I think we can all help each other out here on the text line, 913-586-7965. And if you thought of a good last-minute Christmas gift for your significant other, text it in. Mm-hmm. I'll toss a few out there throughout this show to help other people. But if you had a good last-minute Christmas gift idea or you need one, the text line can save us all, 913-586-7965.
Yeah, no, I've got most of my Christmas shopping done. I do have a few kids, so most of their stuff is taken care of. Now, the wife, on the other hand, I'm still kind of pondering some ideas.
Oh, man, it's the 23rd.
Yeah.
You're going to have to just get – it's going to be about action after the show, I think.
Yeah, yeah, you're telling me. I know she's a big Harry Potter fan, so I could probably go up to, like, Barnes & Noble or something and
get find her, something Harry Potter?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Which house is she?
She's
if they're big Harry Potter fans, okay. I was like, they've got a preference.
Yeah, she's a Hufflepuff.
That's harder stuff to find than Gryffindor, man. You can find all kinds of that stuff.
Uh-huh.
You got to be working harder to be finding off houses, you know?
Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right.
I don't know much. I've seen half of the movies.
What?
And read like one book.
Oh, man, you're missing out.
I don't know if it hit me at a weird age, I think, is part of it. Like, I was probably like in late high school,
yeah,
when all that stuff hit. So, like, I think it just hit me at an age where I didn't, like,
didn't really take very much. I understand that. They're good movies. I haven't read all of them.
Okay. No,
she's a bookworm. She's read them all probably 7-8 times at least.
Oh, that's nuts.
Yeah. Well, she's got a whole library.
That's crazy.
But,
my wife's a librarian, so, like, I'm familiar with people who read a lot.
Uh-huh.
But man, reading the same book 7 or 8 times. I think the most I've read any book is probably 3 or 4. A book, not an entire series. And that's just like the ones that I always thought were great books out of youth that I've picked back up that I read multiple times as a kid, like A Wrinkle in Time or The Giver or something.
Yeah.
Or then like the couple of books I've read like 2 or 3 times in adulthood, like I can't even think. Like Devil in the White City, I think I've read twice. Like, you know, maybe 3 times. That's about the best I can do.
Yeah. I'm not a big reader. I think the last book I read was something, Super Bowl Champions, Kansas City Chiefs, that was sold at Price Chopper after the first year we won it.
Yeah.
That was the last book I read.
That's fair. Yeah. I mean, look, it works. I think that was written by good friend Matt Derrick, if I remember right. Yeah. So, text line, very unhelpful. At least at the end. From the 913, if you need good Harry Potter stuff, go to Box Lunch at the Oak Park Mall, not terribly far from here.
Okay.
So somebody already helping you out.
See?
Someone just says, just get her an Amazon gift card. I don't know if that's going to work, but we'll see. We'll see. Someone says, $100 gift card to Target. Gift cards are tough, man, for significant others. Not saying they can't work. But that'd be the case. From the 417, one of the best gifts you can get for Harry Potter fans is the illustrated books, which my kids have.
Sure.
Those heavily illustrated ones are really cool.
Yeah.
They've got like the first 3, I think. So we've read some of those with them as well.
The problem with gift cards, especially when it comes to significant others, is she turns around and she looks at you and she says, well, you didn't put any thought into this.
Yeah, it's a risk. It's a risk, man. You got to know your wife in that situation. That's for sure, James.
Yep.
We'll take a break here in about 10 minutes when we get to Andy Reid and hear from him. Get some injury updates from him, at least on that end. But I want to talk about Xavier Worthy and what I had asked Nate Taylor, which is, do the Chiefs know that Xavier Worthy is their number one wide receiver? Because I think it's fairly obvious he is. So unless Hollywood Brown is going to take that crown from him sometime in the next 2 weeks, having not played at all for the Chiefs until this previous Saturday game, Xavier Worthy is their best wide receiver. He's led them in receiving yardage each of the last 2 weeks at 65 and 46. He's led them in receiving yardage three of the last seven games. That goes back to the Buffalo game in which I told you he was the best. Sure, Gray or Hopkins or Kelsey knocked him off every once in a while. And there's been other players who have certainly had their moments. He's also got three touchdowns during that time. There's two things that I think are kind of universally true about what's been happening with Xavier Worthy. One, he is not Rashee Rice in his rookie year. Rashee Rice was going to have 1,200 yards receiving this year. I think that, at least that seemed obvious to me. I don't know about everyone else. I thought he was a 1,000-yard receiver no matter what. He was going to be a 1,300-yard receiver this year had he played the entire year. Rashee Rice, at the end of last year, was getting more catches for more yards, more consistently than Xavier Worthy. But I think it's also important to note that Xavier Worthy is doing this while there are actual other options inside the offense. Who the hell, other than Travis Kelce, was taking targets away from Rashee Rice late in the year last year? What were you going to do? Break off some for Sky Moore or Kadarius Toney? Justin Watson just had to get his? No. There was no one to throw the ball to late last year. So when you, if you look through the last like eight games either played in either season, so Xavier Worthy now since the Buffalo Bills game, or like the final eight games of the season last year for Rashee Rice, every single one of Rashee Rice's games are essentially going to be two catches for about 20 yards higher. Every single game. Well, that's because of who they had to throw to. I don't think Xavier Worthy is Rashee Rice yet, but I think it looks like you might end up with A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith, and that is no longer absurd. Over his last six games, Xavier Worthy is on a 900-yard, eight-touchdown pace. That's Devonta Smith. When we saw Rashee Rice at the beginning of this year and the end of last year, including the playoffs, he was a 1,200, 1,300-yard wide receiver. That's your A.J. Brown. And what you might have done in having to speed turbo boost both of their development because of a lack of wide receivers last year and an injured group of wide receivers this year up to this point and a lack of wide receivers for a certain point, getting guys used to it, you might have ended up having a dynamic pair of wide receivers for Patrick Mahomes for at least the next 4 years. You might have given yourself something, or 3 years, right? You might have given yourself something that you weren't anticipating because of how much you had to play them. And so that part really stands out to me because Xavier Worthy has looked better and better every single week. He's getting in the end zone more often. Yeah, he bobbles a throw here or there, but he's catching most things he's expected to catch. Still, and this is what's so weird about it. The only other thing that is like, that's without the deep ball. He runs like a 4.240, right? So like the only question I would still have is, where's the occasional deep ball? Every week, we'll come in here and we'll say the same thing. Are they going to hit a 40, 50, 60-yarder to Xavier Worthy eventually? And I think that that comes with once these receivers are up. Once Hollywood is fully comfortable, I think sometime in the next 2 weeks before the season, well, it might be week one of the playoffs because they might not play against Denver. But sometime in the next 2 to 3 weeks, you're going to see that pass finally get completed to Worthy because at some point, they're going to pick their poison, and the poison they pick might not be Xavier Worthy on a play. And he's going to be running downfield by himself, and Mahomes will finally make a good throw, and those things will be there. But on that touchdown drive that Xavier Worthy eventually caught the touchdown, they went to him like three or four times on that drive alone. And that's the second time in 3 weeks where he's just had his drive. We're going to Worthy. Then we're going to Worthy again. Well, they're not obviously going to do anything in this drive to correct it, so here we do it again. And those things kind of go that way. From the 816, Rice Worthy equals Amon Ra and Jameson Williams. That's fine. Like, those comparisons all seem to work the same. But again, I think that it's fairly clear that they're set up for the long haul with Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice at this point, other than the can you really technically pay two receivers at the same time? Right? Like, can you really accompany that? Over on the text line, we'd ask for gifts, if you're looking for last-minute ones, from the for your significant other, from the 620. I wish for a small telescope, maybe. Dobson mount, that's what they're looking for. There are all kinds of Harry Potter suggestions for you. You must not be the only wife with a Harry Potter fan.
Yeah, the 913 says the symphony is accompanying the original Harry Potter. I love that.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a great gift.
I think that's an awesome
buy a ticket
awesome
to the symphony.
Gift.
It's a built-in date night, too.
Exactly.
You know, you make the gift extra nice if you arrange the childcare now.
Yeah.
We're going to this thing, and I already have somebody watching the children.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about a thing. Get dressed.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Get dressed up. We're going out, and we're having a good night, baby.
Someone says, if your wives are like mine, it won't matter what you get her. She won't like it. I don't know. My wife's hit or miss. I don't think she dislikes everything I get her. She always pretends like she likes it. My wife is definitely one of those, right? She's never seemed disappointed in a gift I've gotten. But I'm sure that sometimes that's just, you know, being nice.
Yeah. Well, yeah, probably. I mean, is it possible to, you know, please your woman all the time? I don't think so. So you're going to have some misses.
Yeah. And that's okay. And
you're absolutely right. At least you have a good one that is, like, you know, thoughtful.
She's not making it seem... Yeah, that's it. Trying is really all they're looking for here. 913, just got my wife nice robes, slippers, foot massager, and a fourth wedding band, one for each kid. That guy's... he's doing fine. He doesn't need to buy anything. He's in great shape. Some of this is for the people who, you know, need those things. Someone says... Venu Spa, it's a Japanese spa place for couples or singles. If you're maybe a spa day for the wife. Lots of good suggestions over in the text line. Keep them coming. 913-586-7965. We got to get to a break. When we come back, we'll hear from the head coach, Andy Reid. Maybe a player or two, we'll see. Out there at Arrowhead before the Chiefs take on the Steelers in 2 days.